from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios. You're listening to Inside Agriculture on this Tuesday morning. While the annual Fall Market Basket Survey by the American Farm Bureau Federation shows lower retail food prices compared to the same time last year. Now, the survey released yesterday showed an 8% decrease, or $4 in price, to total $49.70. The Market Basket Survey features 16 common food items, including eggs, whole milk, cheddar cheese, chicken breast, sirloin tip roast, and ground chuck. Of the 16 products, 13 in all decreased in price, while just 3 increased in average price. Egg prices saw the most significant price drop, down 51% compared with last year. Farm Bureau's John Newton says that's because egg production is recovering well from the 2014 avian influenza outbreak. Prices for bagged salad, apples, and potatoes all increased. Newton says apple prices are higher because of dry conditions in apple growing areas, and salad prices are up because of lower output by farmers in California and Arizona. Well, also, last week's cage-free shell egg report was the first of a new monthly report by the Department of Agriculture. Now, the department launched the monthly cage-free shell that USDA says will add transparency to the cage-free shell egg market. Now, the new monthly report includes wholesale price information for cage-free shell eggs traded on a contract basis and negotiated spot market basis. The report also includes retail feature price information for extra-large, large-size cage-free shell eggs, and information for both brown and white eggs. The report also provides information on cage-free shell egg estimated production in the United States based off of organic and cage-free flock size estimates collected by USDA. Now, information for the report is collected from weekly retail advertising specials from more than 29,000 retail stores across the country. USDA says the monthly report will be released on the first Monday of each month, in case you wanted to know what cage-free eggs would cost. Okay, we're going to take a break here. But when we come back, we definitely want to talk about what went on politically. Now, what does Hillary Clinton think about Waters of the U.S. rule? And Donald Trump think about WOTUS? We'll find out next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on this Tuesday morning on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot, North Dakota. Want to remind all you fine folks in the Minot area that we'll be broadcasting from the Heartland Ag Showcase coming up the 15th and 16th of November. In case you want to write that down in your calendar, that's going on at the State Fairgrounds in Minot. Also, Ag News 890, Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota, as well as Farm News and Real Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. Well, as we mentioned before we took the break, the American Farm Bureau Federation will not endorse a political candidate, but recently asked the two major party presidential candidates their views on issues important to agriculture. Now, for Farm Bureau, environmental issues were a top concern. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump responded recently to American Farm Bureau Federation questions on everything from environmental and regulatory issues to taxes. Farm Bureau's Don Parrish says regarding the Environmental Protection Agency's controversial Waters of the U.S. rule, or WOTUS, Clinton would preserve the status quo, while Trump wants the rule completely gone.
And then he basically says that he believes that the Waters of the U.S. rule is unconstitutional. In our litigation, we're arguing the same thing. So ultimately, he's going to have to probably go through a lot of steps, but he definitely indicates that he wants to eliminate the WOTUS rule.
Hillary Clinton tells Farm Bureau that as president, she'd continue the legacy of the Clean Water Act that she says restored healthy, swimmable, and fishable waters, but says she'll keep exemptions for common farming practices. However, Perry says after dealing with EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy on WOTUS, the underlying issue is trust.
She spent a lot of time prior to this rule becoming finalized trying to tell and convince farmers that EPA wasn't going to be a problem for them. And what we see from this report that came out last week from the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee is that even basic plowing with a chisel plow, the furrows that a chisel plow leaves violates the Clean Water Act. It violates their belief that they can enforce on farmers anytime they plow through areas that we may not think is a WOTUS, but the agency thinks is a WOTUS.
Clinton says she'll incentivize farm conservation practices, fully fund the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, and establish a one-stop shop for agriculture conservation programs. She argues more voluntary conservation will reduce the need for endangered species protections. Trump says the Endangered Species Act has a poor track record of helping animals facing extinction and is endangering workers, instead blocking economic development and denying property rights. Trump has pledged a top-down review of all the Obama administration ESA actions and work with Congress to modernize the Endangered Species Act. Well, a group of state agriculture directors says the next farm bill could offer relief to farmers in the midst of lower commodity prices and lower farm income. The National Association of State Departments of Agriculture met in Nebraska last week. Politico reports members mulled over issues including dairy prices, water quality issues, and disaster relief funding as farm bill priorities for the group. NASDA expects to finalize its farm bill priority list early next year. The group discussed adding a title to the farm bill related to land transition. South Carolina Ag Secretary Hugh Weathers said if getting new people into farming is seen as that vital, then it has a place in the farm bill. In regards to helping new farmers get farmland, Vermont Ag Commissioner Chuck Ross added, Capitol Hill tends to listen to state agricultural officials when it comes to the farm bill. That's because nearly all of NASDA's priorities for the 2014 farm bill were included in the final legislation. Well, we'll take another break here. However, when we come back, we're going to talk with Chris Hurt. He's the Purdue ag economist, talking about what farmers should do when it comes to marketing their grain this year. And his thoughts, pretty much keep the grain on the farm. Try to make as much out that corn crop as you possibly can. That's coming your way next on Inside Agriculture. Well, as we mentioned before we took the last break, we're going to talk about grain prices. And, of course, as we take a look at those markets, nothing but negatives in the markets with grain prices, what we call in the tank. The number one question for the corn crop coming out of the field right now is, what's the best marketing strategy? Well, Purdue ag economist Chris Hurt is one of the experts suggesting storing the crop for right now.
With on-farm storage, you only have about a penny a bushel in interest cost to store that. And if you can pick up something from 50 to 60 cents a bushel into the spring with about 10 cents, that makes those revenues not so bad.
That being said, producers are asking, what's going to take to get the price of corn over $4?
Well, I think it takes some kind of a weather event, and that weather event could obviously be South America, or that could be January, February during the growing season if they had some adversity there.
Hurt says one of the most important factors to consider is global demand. Well, sunshine takes on a whole new meaning for a California Central Valley dairy farm. Don York has more with the details.
The Joseph Gallo Farms in Atwater now has the largest privately owned solar array ever set up on a California dairy. There are nearly 8,000 solar panels set up on 8 acres of land. Dairy farmer and cheesemaker Peter Gallo says solar makes good sense for his business.
Solar, along with our methane digester, helps us carry out some of Governor Brown's renewable energy and greenhouse gas emission goals. It's just been a good fit for us. And dairy farms in California need to be sustainable, environmentally and financially.
Peter says the system provides about half of the needed energy for his dairy and farming operations. And he has plans to continue to push to become a net zero farm sometime in the future.
That's Don York with that report. Well, also, we're going to stay in California. A leader in the California wine industry says that California agriculture needs to invest into a large billboard campaign. Well, Patrick Cavanaugh has more on that with his report.
Celebrating California agriculture, a refreshing perspective. Peter Angelo Vallis is the executive director of the San Joaquin Valley Wine Growers Association based in Fresno, and he has an astute viewpoint on California agriculture. Vallis noted that California agriculture should put some dollars together for a major billboard campaign in Los Angeles and the Bay Area celebrating our agriculture as part of a big PR campaign. Just imagine how many billboards could be rented for a month or two for a few million dollars. And Vallis looks at the Almond Board of California as a good starting point.
You know what? The Almond Board, I think, is the most progressive part of California agriculture today because they understand how much money it takes to penetrate the market. We're not living in 1932. We need to spend money on this stuff. I mean, what does a Super Bowl commercial cost? $6-7 million for 30 seconds? It's an insane amount of money, but that's what it takes to really move the needle.
So billboards around the California urban centers or even across the country.
So if we wanted a campaign and have every billboard in America for 1 month, call it, you know, hey, we like to eat month or something, or your stomach depends on ag, something that connects with people, God, it'd probably cost $20 or $30 million just to make that happen. But if you look at the success the Almond Board's had, that is a perfect pathway, a perfect roadmap for what all of us in California can do at pennies per pound. And I mean, there's some commodities that don't make pennies per pound, but on the whole, a couple pennies per pound, if it's put in the right space and put in front of people, guess what? They're going to go nuts over the product. Look what almonds have done. And if that isn't a rallying cry for what could happen to anything else, it'd be killer. And it'd be killer for our industry.
I'm Patrick Cavanaugh reporting.
Well, we'll take another break here. And when we come back, OIE is going to develop animal welfare standards. We'll talk about that in the pork industry. It's all coming your way right after this. Well, as we continue on and begin to wrap up what's going on inside agriculture from the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, before we took the break, talked about OIE is going to develop animal welfare standards. Well, the World Animal Health Organization is responsible for establishing standards for animal disease treatment and eradication. Now, in recent years, this international agency began writing animal welfare standards. Sherry Webb, who is the National Pork Board Director of Animal Welfare, says work's now being done specific to swine production.
The trick with the OIE is that they have 157 member countries around the world, and as they write these standards, they have to make sure that they are outcome-based and applicable regardless of the type of production system that a farmer may use, because the standard has to be applicable to not only developed countries such as the U.S. and some of our European countries, but also developing countries such as farmers in Africa and Southeast Asia.
Putting together animal welfare standards for the entire world, well, it's a difficult job.
When you consider social differences, religious differences, and economical differences between or among member countries, it certainly adds an interesting dynamic to the task. The timeline is that they have a draft of the pig chapter written, and they anticipate to send it out to member countries for comment later this fall, early winter.
And the Pork Checkoff and its Animal Welfare Committee are monitoring the OIE process. Sherry Webb, Pork Checkoff Director of Animal Welfare. Well, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says the U.S. Department of Agriculture needs more funding to continue distributing aid to farmers hit by low commodity prices. Vilsack said last week, hopefully with a continuing resolution, we can take a look at what additional steps we might be able to provide to farmers and the agriculture industry. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.